Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, I'm Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host today, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen, and our guest today is Tom Fee from Vector Wealth Management. Thanks for being with us today, Tom.
You bet. Hi,
Tom.
Morning.
Today's topic is from minutiae to milestones, the journey from 10 to 30,000 feet. Tom, what do you mean by that? Where are we going today?
Well, I think as we've learned from our experience, one of the challenges that a lot of business owners have is there's a tremendous amount of complexity when you try and take a business that you're building and integrate it into the things that you want to do personally. There are just so many components that can come up. You've got your own personal assets, your investment assets, your business net worth, and when you're so close to it that it's difficult to see all of the different things that you need to get done to really kind of optimize all the hard work you've done over many years. So by being too close to it, being at 10 feet sometimes, it's better just to pull back up to about 30,000 feet and get a better view of the landscape so that you can make decisions at a larger level first. And then you can slide back down in close and make more of the minutia that we inevitably have to deal with.
Minutia, jump in here, Sam, anytime, minutia. What we're trying to do is help business owners sort through their assets, whether they might be personal assets, business real estate, and try to make some kind of bring some organization to the mess, if you will, or the minutia.
That's correct. I mean, inevitably, what it did, you can see here once in a while, people say, go forward and look back, step out 5 years and say, okay, where do you want to be? And how did I get here? And what do these different assets that I have mean to me in my life? And, we just take that a little bit differently and say, go up and look down, to get a clearer view of what it is that you want to do. And then making decisions. Is this business, am I going to be in this business for another 5 years or 10 years?
So this is a different kind of approach. I mean, all of us are usually hearing start at the 30,000 foot level and then come down, bring it down to practical terms. So how do you, for those of us who are owners, used to coming from that high point, how do you bring us down?
Well, interestingly, I would perhaps suggest what folks do is they want to be at the 30,000 feet, but on a day-to-day basis when the phone's ringing and when you've got employee issues, when you've got all of the things that we have to deal with on a daily basis, I think too often we are at that 10-foot level and we don't spend enough time at the 30,000-foot level and stay there. And I think sometimes it's very difficult in a universe of one to try and integrate all these various parts of our lives. So we may go up to 30,000 feet, but we don't stay there long enough, or we don't have a good co-pilot, if you will, to make sure that we're navigating all of these decisions on an integrated basis.
So the business owners are out there operating and running their business 24/7, and they're really just running out of day every day before they run out of things to do. And what you're trying to do is when you meet a business owner client for the first time, just kind of sit down and take a break from all of that hyperactivity and say, okay, let's see where we are. Let's try to look at the big picture. And let's try to see where we're going and where you want to go. Is that it?
Exactly. And I think there's there's one thing to be able to, the easiest thing in the world is to give somebody advice and then go home. They have to take the advice and do something with it. And I don't think there's any substitute for experience. I am a business owner in the financial services industry. We are a company. We have departments. We have hiring. We have where we have to let folks go. We want to make sure that we put the best team together. And I also have objectives, long-term objectives, with how do I integrate into my own business. So it's a lot of reflecting on your own personal experience. There's nothing better, I think, than personal experience in being able to bring value to a client that's in a similar situation. You can change the industry, but you'll have some of the same challenges.
Do you ever find that you have, when you're working with the business owners, that you have to take their business vision or the business strategy and align it with their personal goals?
Oh yes, that's very much the case, and I think when we talk to business owners, inevitably what happens is the business owners that really care about their business, it becomes a part of who they are. So the integration of their desires and goals for what they want to do with the business sometimes gets them running without actually determining where the finish line is. And our job is to say, okay, what do we have here? If this is a marathon, are we at mile 19 or are we at mile 22? And let's make certain that we just don't run past the finish without really setting the correct objectives.
In my practice, we like to talk about the fact that when I meet a business owner, I want to say, how many years have you been in business? How old are you? How many more years do you want to be in business? And where are you going with this thing? All too often, you talk to a business owner and you say, how'd you do last year? And they say, well, I made some pretty good money. What are you going to do next year? More. Well, that's good. Why? Where are you going with this thing? And how big does it have to be for you to meet your financial goals?
Yeah, how do you prevent yourself from going beyond that mile marker or that?
How do you know when
you're
going
to get
there?
How do you know when you've
gotten it? Yeah. How much is enough and how do you know when you get there? Isn't that part of what you help them determine, Tom?
Well, it is. And I think that's you said it well. I could just restate what you did, but I'll try and make it a little bit different.
Well, okay? I'm sure you can do better.
Okay. Is that... It's a little bit like in any part of our life, sometimes keeping things in moderation. I mean, the older I get, the more I realize that moderation is really the key. And often when we get with clients, and again, we have this wonderful luxury of having worked with people for a number of years that have businesses. They could be anywhere from 50 to 75. And inevitably, when we look at their end objectives and trying to say, all right, what did you want the last day to look like? And was it, did you want $5 million? Did you want $10 million? Did you want $20 million of accumulated net worth?
The last day in business, right?
Or the last day in life, quite
well,
frankly.
That's another one, too.
We're trying to think of creative names of death, so last day is what we're working with today.
Okay.
So, but often what we see is people over-accumulating. And you miss today. And it's really important for us. One of our passions is to make sure that if we can clearly articulate what the long end looks like and relieve some of that unknown stress that they have around it, then we can get them to be more present in their business today and, quite frankly, more present in their life today.
So retirement doesn't mean 65. Retirement means after you've accumulated enough wealth to do the things you want to do and after you've figured out with Tom Fee and his partners how much is enough.
Well, it is. I think that's a part of it. But then again, we are perhaps the first generation that really understands that life doesn't end at 67. That's what the actuarial tables would have told us 30 years ago. And it isn't. Life is out to 90. So we're actually seeing, I would almost say retirement is redefining how you work. And it might be scaling back in your business. It might be more volunteer time. It could be board. It could be board member. There's a number of different ways of re-engaging in life rather than disengaging as a traditional view of retirement. We have so many more good years after the traditional retirement age that it doesn't necessarily have to be some terminal date around an asset base.
In a way, you're talking about work-life balance, making a difference until the end, the last day, but not necessarily like we were talking about earlier, not just wildly working constantly and just constantly in action just for the sake of it.
Well, don't you think retirement has become the next phase of life after the point in which you don't necessarily have to work full time, but before that point where you're crippled or disabled and not able to enjoy and be fulfilled with some other activity? So I think the baby boomers are redefining retirement maybe so that it's that next phase and it can be whatever you want it to be. There's no right or wrong for that.
That's correct, and I think that's the thing we try and help our clients ascertain. I mean, it's when there's two things will happen. We have the kind of the analytical tools which are important to be able to help a client visualize their lives. You know, there's so many moving parts to this that it's very, very difficult to try and see it visually. And one of the things that we've tried to migrate that opportunity to understand the rest of your life by is by visually representing their life and giving them a greater, perhaps, understanding and confidence around their financial life than they've had before. And then when you do that, what you can lessen is an emotion that never serves us well, which is fear. Many times our decisions, whether it's accumulation of wealth or how aggressively we have to grow our business or other things, is around the fear of what's coming. And the more information you give a business owner about the potentials in their future, the better decisions they can make today. And that's really key. And one additional point on that is that the way our business is structured is that we work with over-accumulators. I mean, that's their one common vein, is that they have saved too much to a certain degree. And when they see that...
Hopefully they have, anyway.
Yes. And when they see that, they start to reframe the decisions that they make today that it keeps them more present.
Okay, this is just over-accumulation, saving too much. This is just like going over my head.
They can do that. Let's back up a minute. Yeah. In my practice, I've always said that the wealth manager is the partner that's most important to a business owner, because you're there before, during, and after the sale of the business. You're there while building the business. You're there during the sale, after the sale. You're the one that's there all throughout the process. So when you start with a business owner, you're really starting with sitting down and doing an inventory of assets. What have you got, and what do you own, and where are you going with this, and how many years are you going to work? And you're their financial partner to help them figure out where are we going and how will we recognize when we get there. Isn't that true?
Yes, there is some truth to that. I mean, we have the good fortune of hopefully being there, that point of continuity, but it's more like you have... I think it's really important to have a balanced team. There are things that we do well, and our job is to be generalists so that we can be present through the different circumstances that business owners find them in at any given time. But advisory relationships, I like to look at as they bubble up and bubble down. There's times where our relationship may be more important, and there's times where someone else's relationship, if they're in the part of structuring their assets for optimizing, passing on what they work so hard to the next generation, then we just kind of ease down in the trust and estate attorneys bubble up. When it's getting time to transition in their business, that the opportunity to work with your firm to make certain that they execute that transaction optimally for themselves, for their employees, and quite frankly, for the purchasers, that is when that relationship steps forward.
We see in my practice where you're very important to that decision-making, because they can come to me and we can make a determination what the business might be worth, but then they need to come back to you and say, okay, if I sell it for this amount, after I pay taxes, I'll have this much left. Do I have enough to go do the things I want to do? And that's a very important decision to make, and we want to make sure they don't pull the trigger until they have the opportunity to achieve their goals.
Yes, and I think that the structuring of that transition or that transaction, if you will, is it going to be a cash purchase? Is it going to be an earn-out over 5 years? Are you going to retain a building and lease it back over a period of time and then 1031 that building into something else? And what you're really trying to do is determine as current income becomes less of a factor in cash flow, require cash flow each year, what's going to substitute for that? And for the first 5 years, it might be an earnout plus a lease on the building. And then the earnout stops after five, the building lease goes for eight, and then Social Security picks up. So you've got these varying levels of cash flow that you really want to spend a lot of time mapping out so that you can determine what you really need when you sell a business.
So it's really mapping it out for your clients, for the most part, in partnership with them?
It is. I mean, okay. We have a way of saying it is that if our clients knew what we knew, what decisions would they make for themselves? So we literally try and slide inside their lives and say, okay, here's the reality of the opportunity. How do I make this work so that I'm getting exactly from this transaction what I thought I was?
So when they're figuring out the life transition, going from active working life to that next phase of life and whatever it is they want to do, they're really transferring from an active income-producing role into a passive income-producing role so that they can still pay the bills, of course.
Correct.
So you're helping them figure out the building and the 401k and the IRA and the Social Security and so forth and divide up that next phase of life into different, five-year terms or different sections depending on the types of income that they have, passive income?
That's correct. I mean, too often, if we're talking about, at a certain level, we're talking about the mapping of someone's life and giving them an understanding and confidence around their financial lives that perhaps they haven't seen before. But the other side of it is that we need to deal with certain fundamentals of capitalism, and that there's risk and there's volatility. And risk is, we like to determine or define risk as more of a short-term issue. So when we look at if a business or a business owner is going to have a five-year earnout, and that five-year earnout not only matches what their income needs in a current level, but perhaps has some extra cash to it, well, then we can say the risk of not meeting those short-term income needs is fairly low, dependent on the strength of the acquirer and those cash flows that are coming forward, of course. But once that's gone, then where do we go to substitute an income source that really mitigates short-term risk? Volatility is risk over longer periods of time with generally an ascending line, so that you've got some growth on the assets, and you can maybe, let me say it a little bit more simply.
You getting all this, Sam? You're getting,
yep.
Okay.
Is that, if you have a need, what we'll often say to our clients is, if you were 48 and you were going to sell your business at 64 and you've got 16 years in order to accumulate wealth to that point or accumulate growth, when you hit 64, you're going to have needs at 80. And that's another 16-year cycle. And as much as we might care about our age, capitalism doesn't. They just want to know how much time we have to work with and how much, what's your willingness to take that risk on. And so we try and stage those assets in accordance with what's available and what the client's risk tolerance is, and what level of certainty do we need for those assets to be present as an income replacement source moving forward.
So at some point you're going to divide that up into short-term cash needs and long-term investment opportunities and try to sort through that. We've been kind of talking about the liquidation event or the sale of the business ever since we started here, but let's talk about for a minute on younger investors. If they come to you at 35 or 40 with aspirations to sell out as soon as they can reach financial independence, do you help them sort through some of those issues too?
We do.
What would independence look like?
Yeah, how do I get there?
Correct. And again, I don't want to keep getting to this over-saving, but those that are...
Please.
Show us how to do that now.
We don't hear a lot about that in America. I liken the way the Americans save, that if you had a balloon in your hand filled with air, and you squeezed that balloon and you had... A lot of the balloon went to one side of your hand and a little bit of the balloon went to the other side. So you had a big bubble and a little bubble. That's kind of the way Americans save, is you have this little bubble of people that tend to oversave. You have a big bubble of folks that tend to undersave. And then in the hand is kind of those that get it right along the way. And they're just not as plentiful. And a lot of it has to do with the way information is presented to you at a young age. It's one of kind of our passions, although our clients don't tend to be in their 20s and 30s. One of our passions is trying to get these folks to understand it right, that it's not just, save 10% and forget about it. There's more to it that you have to really kind of integrate your life's path and your life financial path together the way you want it to look. And it's very difficult to do from Wall Street out to Main Street. It's one of the things I think is probably backwards in this business, is that really when it comes to mapping a financial life, you got to work off a universal one, and that's that client and their life and their income opportunities and what they want it to look like over the short, mid, and long term.
And once again, there's no rights or wrongs. It's what does that individual client want to achieve, and how can you help them get that done as soon as possible so that they can have that next phase of life is long and fruitful and healthy.
That's true. I mean, the spectrum of opportunity narrows if the later you start, and so absolutely getting a right start is critical. It's one of the things we do with our own clients is that if they we encourage them to have their children come into us. They aren't necessarily clients of the firm, but they are clients of the firm because they are attached to our clients.
And by default.
And so we want to make sure that in that universe of folks that we can touch, that we do give them the right information.
For you get your clients' children, but what about the other people who are younger? Why don't they start earlier?
Well, that now you're getting into kind of one of the fundamental issues around the financial services industry and the way it's been structured forever. And what it's been traditionally is a sales force that you get young, very well-intentioned individuals that start in their 20s, 30s as brokers or advisors, and the survival rate of those is quite low. I think it's about two out of every three young advisors that get started may not be in the business 3 years later. So you not only lose two-thirds of the advisors, but you're losing two-thirds of the advisors' clients may have lose continuity and experience because it is a difficult business at a young age to get started in. So we start to develop bad habits with investors at a young age because they may have two or three financial relationships before they get to the point where they have some real dollars. And quite frankly, by that time, their trust levels have been damaged and their experience in the financial services industry might not be optimal.
And they might have wasted too many years before they got it started accumulating the wealth.
Yeah, you can't, I like to say there's three things you have to work with. You have time, rate of return, and money. And once you lose time, you got to have rate of return and money. And once you don't have rate of return, you got to have money. And so again, those options narrows. And as I sit here, I've got out of 10 toes, I've got 8 toes curling because it is truly the greatest area where people have opportunity. And because they don't have the economic resources to be in, let's say, a fee-based relationship, it's the one where there's the greatest risk in getting started correctly.
Really, it comes down to that time factor, doesn't it? The sooner they get started, the easier it is going to be to accumulate that wealth because they don't have to have that huge rate of return. But I'm sure you get a lot of business owners that you've met maybe for the first time when they're 40, and they say, I want to be out of here by the time I'm 60, but if I can leave by the time I'm 55, it'd be great. So then you've still got some time. But if they come to you when they're 50 or 55, now you're pressed, aren't you?
That's true. But what I also tell those young business owners is that, look, there's nobody that's going to work harder to make you money than yourself. And if you have a business and you're executing it the way you that with wonderful opportunities that are in front of you, then really reinvest in your own business to the point there's this kind of critical point where I don't know if it depends on the business opportunity, but 5, 10, or 15 years out where you want to start buying your business from yourself, where the reinvestment in the business, does it drive as much of a balance to your net worth as perhaps starting to funnel a little bit of money off to the side? A number of our clients where we've said is that, look, do you want to have full dependence on the liquidation value of your business when it's time to go? And you may, because you have great faith and confidence, and you should, because if you don't have that kind of confidence, you shouldn't be a business owner. You have to believe that there's nobody else that can do this as well as you can. However, at some point, you need to start thinking about how do I make myself less dependent on that circumstance or that event? And the best way to do that is by, and I think it's really, you could say 5 to 15 years out. I think 10 is a good number. That's where, in the case of my business, I said, okay, 10 years from now, what do I want this to look like? How do I create a sense of permanence for my clients as a firm so that And also to allow myself to have a life in when I get to 60.
A life.
Or 64.
So for some business owners, as they go through the cycle of business ownership, it might be worthwhile to consider, say, 10 years before they have that liquidation event, instead of pouring every dollar of profit back into the business to grow it, maybe they should consider diversifying that accumulation by pulling some of that out and investing it separate and aside from the business so they don't have all their eggs in one basket. That's one of your thoughts, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I don't want to, because a lot of times it's just about that business's opportunity, and you have to look at it. And if you're in a stable business, you've built a plumbing business for years and years and years, and the marketplace is changing for you, there's more competition coming in, or whatever, you have to kind of, with advisors, determine, am I in a business that is going has the opportunity to grow at 10-15% a year, or am I in a business that's going to be 6-8, or am I a business that's kind of flat revenues? And honestly assess what your opportunity is, not in a universal one. That's why a group of advisors is key, to get a sense of what the competition is. You know, there's a bias that exists that I think it's really important to articulate, is that if you look at in let's say the financial industry, and you talk to an analyst that covers U.S. Bank, and you ask them about the industry, that analyst will inevitably say that the industry has certain challenges. Then when they ask about U.S. Bank specifically, which they cover, they'll say, but U.S. Bank is positioned differently. That you'll get that same response from presidents of their own companies in industries. They'll talk about the challenges of the industry, and then they'll talk about how they're positioned well to go against that. So we have to take those lessons and apply them to small businesses to say, yes, my business has challenges. However, this is how we're positioned. You need to have somebody, you need to have checks and balances of people saying, okay, but what if? And that's the really important part, is to honestly seek outside counsel that's going to allow you to make better decisions as you're getting close to the end of the game, because the chances of optimizing life, doing it perfectly or as best as you can, is really difficult in a universal one.
So the message for the small business owners is to start early, put together a board of advisors so you can consider your financial options, your trust and estate options, analyze what options might be there, and try to determine which of those are best for you, because there really is no right or wrong. And then start implementing an action plan as early as possible.
Correct.
I'm Tom Lyons, and for my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer Jorgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Tom Fee from Vector Wealth Management for being with us on this segment of todaysbusinessradio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.